Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 308, part 1, Untangling. Today is Friday, September 6th, 2013.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
Today's message is entitled, Untangling. We have for the last 11 messages been looking at spiritual fruit, fruit of the Spirit. And these last couple of tapes will deal with fruit killers. And I think a heavy frost fruit killer is unforgiveness. And again, we must look towards the Holy Spirit. It isn't something that you attain on your own. Listen then to David in Psalm 86 and 5, "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive." I like that. "For thou, Lord, art good, and ready," he's ready, "to forgive. And plenteous," I like that word, plenteous, means there's plenty of it. "Plenteous in mercy, and his mercy," it says, "endureth forever. Unto all them that call upon thee," you want mercy? Call upon the Lord. Don't call upon friends, unless they've called upon the Lord. Because you aren't going to get mercy. You only get so much. Well, look at the Christian world right now. Are they showing any kind of mercy towards one another? I mean, if the world were looking towards groups of Christians, the charismatic movement is fine, but there's a charismatic crazies, another segment. Then we have the fundamentalists, and then we have the moral majority. And then we have the hard-line legalist, and there's really none of them that you can say really has any kind of mercy that will endure at all. And so for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. In other words, good at giving and forgiving. Supplying us with his good and removing from us our evil. Now, here was the reason David looked to the Lord alone for his joy. Don't look anywhere else for your joy. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Want to get close to the Lord? Start giving and forgiving. As he gives to you, you give away. And what do you get? Pushed down, packed together, running over. Will men give unto your bosom? You give them mercy and they'll give you mercy back. You give them forgiveness and that's exactly what you'll get back. You give them a frown, that's what you'll get back. You give them a slap, that's what you'll get back. See, because the Lord alone is your joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Call upon him. We're always looking for joy, aren't we? Maybe today we'll go out and say, oh, joy, it's a great day. Well, we're feeling good because... How would you feel right now if it was raining and lightning was coming down? That would dampen your joy somewhat. What if I carried my message on for another 20 minutes and then, or an hour or 2 hours and then all of a sudden it clouded over? Boy, that would take your joy away. Even if people were getting saved. Even if miracles happen in our lives, you ruined my day. See, the world, who is this guy? He has a gun all the time, runs around, he says, make my day. And he shoots these people in the head. Not talking about that kind of, that's what the world, that kind of joy they get out. Make my day. You know? No, make my day. If this is going to make your day, and this is fine, this is a blessing of God, this day. And having money is going to make your day. Do you ever go to the, well, of course you have, the circus or go to the fair or something like that, and you're all excited, you pay your fee, and you get in there, and you think, oh boy, what's the first thing you do? You're going to make yourself happy by having something to eat. And so you have the Pronto Pups, and you have the foot-long hot dog, and then you have the Norwegian sausage about this big around, and then you have the pop and the corn on the cob and the French fries and all of that. Did it make you happy? No, it made you sick. Really, our joy comes from the Lord. You don't have any today, you say, you're listening on the radio. Well, I don't have no joy. I don't have anything to be happy about. Well, you're looking for something to make you happy outside of God. And there is nothing. All the extra things that come your way are blessings. And by the way, if you're a blessing, then God is going to bless you. I know that from being down here on this mission ministry, in the ministry of giving. How do you feel when you get off of that run? Because of your giving. And Don is there most every Saturday. Why are you there? Because he needs. He needs to be blessed. And Sue needs to be blessed of the Lord. And the only way that we get that blessing is by giving. And that's the only way we get the joy of the Lord. See, he is the only one who freely gives us reasons for joy. In other words, he creates it. God knows how to create joy in you. And the building blocks within you are your continually giving. That's how it grows in you. And you grow to love it. You grow to respect God and you grow to believe his word because you're going against the flesh. You're giving of yourself in God. I think we can sometimes give joy but are ready to withdraw it at a moment's notice. At the slightest indication of any injury done to us. and we pull back our joy. We're having a good time, we're laughing and carrying off, and then someone injures us, and someone says something so vile during, we're having such a good time, and then someone says, "What a frumpy dress you have on. Where did you get that? Where did you get that awful hairdo?" Does that kill your joy? Well, the Bible says, agree quickly with your enemy whilst he's in the way. Why? So he'll get out of your way. And simply say, "I agree with you. This is a lousy haircut. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get it fixed." Or, this could be a better dress. Oh, you don't like it? What's wrong with it? Explain to me why you don't like it. Well, and then they don't know what to say then. So you don't fight an enemy, you agree with him, and then they have to get out of the way. You're a coward. I know it. And I can run pretty fast, too, to prove it. See, there's ways of getting around things. There's ways where you don't have to have the last vindictive word. There's ways of doing things. And so as you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say like Jesus, "You said it." You mean to say that you are the Son of God? You said it. Let other people say things for you. They know how to humble you. Some are quite expert at it. See, we can sometimes give joy, but are, I said, ready to withdraw it at a moment's notice. And many of us listening on the radio can't forgive. I can't. When you even say forgiveness, these, right in here, alongside of your, is this the esophagus? I guess so. Right in here, they tighten up on your esophagus. I can't. And then the voice gets strained. I can't forgive. And you think of that person, you just, you're going to get arthritis doing that. Whole body, rigor mortis sets in, death. I mean, you know, you turn yourself into a Frankenstein monster. Why? Because of those resentments. Because of all those unforgiving thoughts. We harbor that. We harbor unforgiveness. I can't. We can't even breathe. All we can think about, I remember. And sometimes we even forget what we're mad at people about. Oh, I forget what it was, but I'll remember something. Become so vague we can barely remember. Only thing we know is when we see that person's face. And that is where we become tangled up. And we get tied, hog-tied. That is where we shut off all of our joy. We get bitter about our past, about what people did to us. Oh, God, I can't forgive. Huh? How many elderly people, and then there's young people like that too, we get so bitter, I'll get even if it's the last thing I do. Well, the last thing they'll do is die. Isn't that right? The very last thing that you're going to do on this old earth is drop dead. And that could happen anytime, maybe even during this service. But you bring it on by being bitter and resentful, unforgiving. Now, the legalists, you're listening on the radio, and so many of them, you know, you'll try to pick a message apart and find some little flaw in it. Well, that's just like the Sadducees and Pharisees. And where did Jesus say they were going? To hell. I think there's a very much of a great surprise coming on at Judgment Day. Those that think they're going to be first are going to be last, and those that think they're going to be last will be first. And always those under the grace measures will say, I'll be glad if I can sweep floors up there. Well, there's no dirt up there. The streets are made of gold. So he had a pretty easy job anyway. And I wonder sometimes how you can minister that when the whole message is God forgave. There is nothing else. And God knows we all need forgiveness all of the time. Don't you need forgiveness all the time? I by faith, I received it once, and I think the portion is great. No, all the time you need it. The only way you're going to give it is by giving it away, or you'll just be a very lonesome person. You want to see somebody lonesome? It's somebody that cannot forgive. No, you can give your forgiveness, and the person doesn't want to forgive you back again. That's their problem. Someone wants to carry a situation on and on and on and on. Well, then that's what they want to do. You don't have to do that. And that's where we become tangled up. We become fruitless. This is where we stop the flow and the grow and the glow. And you lose your glow about yourself. You become bitter with someone. No, sometimes people just don't receive what you're doing. Well, you communicate with them and say, this is what I'm doing. And if they don't want you, then they don't want you. This is the way I believe, and if they don't want you, then they don't want you. But don't get tangled up by unforgiveness. And at the same time, don't live your life unto them. Live your life unto the Lord and your convictions. We stop the flow and the grow and the glow. We stop them all. Unforgiveness. And we don't have the glow anymore. The glow, little glowworm glow, is gone. See, we miss it. We expect too much from human nature. Don't expect too much from people. Don't be that one thing you expect so much out of the day. You and your friends are all going to go out and you're going to go canoeing. You all expect so much out of this day, and you got your paddles ready and you got the canoe ready, and you delegated the authority to someone to make sure there was no leaks or anything, and you get out there and there's a hole in the boat. And so you stomp off mad, and oh man, never trust this guy again, huh? Talk about it for 10 years later that there was a hole in the boat and it ruined your good time. Well, la di da. I remember years ago, and I had about 20 years old. I just got out of service, and there was about 6 of us that wanted to go fishing, so we went way up north. And the road had washed away. And I had a 1949 8-cylinder straight 8 Chrysler cross country car. A really super looking automobile, see? And the road washed away, so the car went right down in the hole. And luckily it was a convertible, so it filled up with water and we all left. Being my mother's son, I found some humor in that. Well, I'll tell you what. There was 3 of them there, didn't find no humor at all. And they, in fact, got very, very angry at me for laughing. I mean, they didn't lose their car. I did. And you know what they were mad about? Because they were going to go fishing, and it was raining, and it rained the whole week up there. Rain. It just rained all the time. It was one of the best times I ever had in my whole of my life. And finally, I talked them all into, hey, give it up. We're going to have a good time here, whether you like it or not. When we left there, there are still people talking about that, well, they had fun, but they didn't remember that part of it. They remembered having that lousy time when we lost the Chrysler and the rain came and it wouldn't stop and they almost started to build an ark. Oh, they were mad. And every time I would see him years later, remember when we went fishing? Man, and it rained the whole time. Well, that's how people are. Human nature. Don't expect too much out of folks. When people get married and they expect a whole lot. I expected more out of you than this. What do you think you married? A fantasy? Better go back into it, because that isn't where it is. Did you think you married a dynamo that would just spin in whenever you wanted? Yes. You rang? You might even get an aw shut up from the other room. Don't expect too much out of humans. Well, I'm only human, you know. Oh, you said it. No, only God can give us plenteous love and mercy, the Bible says, and forgiveness. And it says, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Now, we need to go to God's feed store for these seeds. You can't get them anywhere else. The seeds of mercy and the seeds of forgiveness and love are all given in God's general store, let's say, farm store, and nowhere else. You see, because God doesn't dispense His mercy from a slender store, in other words, that might run out. His mercy is abundant. And it's forever and for everyone. When I thought to myself, well, anyway, there is not too many people breaking down God's doors for grace and mercy and forgiveness, even if it were in short supply. You know why? They don't want to give that out. You know why? They found out it will only grow when they give it away. Give away that which they are given. That which they have received is a better word. Lord, I want to have grace and mercy seeds and forgiveness seeds. But now you got to go plant them. And where do you have to plant them but in somebody's heart? And you hate their natural guts. You have to plant those seeds. Now, whether they grow or not is up to God. It's not up to you. God is the one that gives the increase, not you. Remember that. You say, well, I planted them over there. Look at all the love and mercy and forgiveness I gave them. No, I really hate them. I tried. God knows I did. You go back over here and you depend on God to cause the increase. And if they never talk to you again, they love everybody but you, it worked. Maybe you're not too lovable anyway, I don't know. Maybe you're a pain. Maybe we're all pains once in a while, aren't we? No, they found out it will only grow and only increase as they plant it, and they don't want to plant it. Well, even in everyday life, if I must put it this way. If we do not put out what we receive, listen to this. What good will it benefit us? That's like an electrician I talked to. I says, well, where do you practice? I gave it up. California, Colorado, all them states. They get more money than we do. Now I got out of it. I mean, are you bitter about it? Yeah. I think the union is lousy. I think this is lousy and that's lousy. And matter of principle. And I thought to myself, no, matter of pride. As soon as I thought that, he said, hey, I got my pride. Oh, I thought that's all you do have. See, pride is what you have to give up when you go into God's general seed store. And that's what you pay for the seed, your pride. You have to give your life to gain your life. Your pride. I got my pride. So does a lion. What good is it going to do you? You can't buy anything with it. You cut yourself off from all love. I got my pride. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I won't. I won't say uncle. Remember when you used to get neck holds on your friends when you were a kid? Say uncle. And you give them the old rub, Charlie horse rub. Huh? You remember that? And then you try to make him flinch. Oh, flinch! And then you beat him in the arms four times. You never once flinched when they hit you in the arm. Why? Pride. Ooh, bing, bing. Didn't hurt a bit. Huh? You wonder why I walk around like this? Pride. See, we don't want to buy anything and give our life, give up our pride. We say, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And then you got your pride going, see. And people say, wonderful, great. And then it doesn't work out. So then you cut yourself off and you move out of town. Why? Because you can't forgive yourself. You don't want to go to God's store. Give up your pride and get the seeds. Give your life. Your life, really, the whole essence of all sin is pride. Pride. That's how the devil, the angel of light, fell. Pride. That's how we fall. I don't care what they do. I'm not going to say I'm sorry. I'm not the one to say it. They are. Now, like I said, you're not going to have a love affair with everybody you meet. You do the very best you can. Do as best as which lies within thee, the Bible says. Or the beautician I talked to. Gave it up. Tried to get one shop down in her house. They had all these rules and regulations. Got to put a fire escape thing so people could get out of there in case one of the things, one of the hair curlers caught their head on fire. And you had to have extinguishers there so you could put their head out. And then they wanted this and they wanted that. And it was just too much. I will not go down to the courthouse again. I will not comply with the rules. And so what does she do? Nothing. She's so mean, she's going to go bald if she keeps it up. Or the cafe owner that had all these problems up the road here. They want this, and they want that, and they want this, and they want that. And I said, well, some of those things are legitimate. Really, I said, the cockroaches should not be able to attack the mice and kill them. Tried to reason to his humor. It only made him madder. Closed. They want to comply with the rules. Or the preacher. I hear a lot of preachers. The average preacher coming into denominational churches or legalist churches or whatever like that, and it's only by the grace of God I'm still standing, lasts 3.5 years across the country because they get mad at people. They get discouraged when they look out at their faces. Oh my God, they're going to eat me alive up here. Hi, folks. How you feeling today? Tell the truth. No, I say, see some of you don't look too good. Everybody raise their hands. It feels icky. Hey, look out. They'll pull out submachine guns and mow you down. Never give opportunity. Don't ask those leading questions. is ministered by the Holy Spirit, and someone gets free, they get free. And by the way, when you minister deliverance ministry like what I minister, and people get free, sometimes it's hard for them. They don't want to get free. They want to stay bound up. They want to stay bound up. You minister messages like this to the legalist, and they just, oh, that just turns him off because he's so self-righteous. Said, hey, this is not of God. And they go out and slay people with that long, nasty, long spiritual fingernail out there, like the wicked witch. You know what I mean? They just stick it out there, see? Or the pilot that doesn't want to take, he goes and he gets all everything. In other words, you lose your license, right? If you don't have so much flight time in, and you don't do certain things, then you lose your license. And then if you don't take care of people's heads when you're a beautician, or take care of the cafe, or take care of whatever business, or your electrician's standing, you lose your license. In other words, what you don't use, you lose. And if you don't give out mercy and love and forgiveness, you lose it. And pretty soon you're just a bitter, bitter person. You lose it. No, I mean, you know, God is the one that can stir up these gifts within us. And God can stir them up. I don't care how dormant they are or how deep down inside they're laying down inside there. God is the one that can spice them up and get them moving again, because it's by the Spirit. It's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. God is the one that stirs us up unto good works. And so that is the fruit killer, isn't it? Unforgiveness. We must confess wrongs, I'm saying, done to each other. When we tangle with someone, we must untangle also. And forgive, it says, one another. Well, God forgave His Son. God forgave us. Let's say you stole something. A young man called me the other day. I stole something. Did you make it right? I says to the young man, no, I didn't make it right yet. I'm afraid to. Well, I said, fear. How long has this been? Oh, I guess it was a couple years. You mean you've been having this on your mind for 2 years? I mean, aren't you afraid it'll go on forever? Why not kill it and give it back? Why not confess that you did it? You know, the other was about 2 nights ago. I locked my keys in the car. And that's so maddening because you can see them on the floor down there. Right there. Put your hand up against the window and put your face up there. I don't care how you press it up against there. You know, there's barriers there. And I couldn't get into the car. No hangers around, nothing. You know, you try to be very inventive, see. And you pray, and Lord, drop a hanger from heaven, and in the name of Jesus, pop open, you know, raise. None of that stuff works, see. Have someone go by. No, your pride says, no, I don't want nobody to go by. This happened to me 3 times this month, eh? So you try to act like nothing's wrong. Oh, looking at the birds, huh? In the middle of the street? No trees here. It's all buildings. See, I mean, you know. What do you do with yourself? So I thought, oh, I got to get out of here. I'm very conspicuous out here, and I'm not doing anything but hurting my fingernails, pushing them up against the windshield. So I went into some people that had, and I'd been doing business with them, and they had a mailbox inside their doorway. And I looked in. Nobody was in there. I rapped in the door and rapped. Nobody answered the door because it's too late. So they had a mailbox there, and it had this little hanger thing that comes up to hold the newspapers. It's a little flappy thing, you know what I mean? And it holds the newspaper. So I thought, there's a wire. Yeah. Well, I guess they wouldn't mind if I took this. So I took it off the box, but why did I feel so guilty walking across the street with it? So I just built myself up and says, look, Jocko, you'll give it back tomorrow. Don't make a big thing. Sometimes you have to talk to yourself. You get on a guilt trip. So, and I straightened this thing out and I put it inside the window. And half hour later, I was in my car. Standing like this because the traffic was going by so fast. You know? Shoom, shoom, shoom. You know, all night that bothered me that I had to get down there the next day and tell them that I took the wire off there. So I seen the guy the next day and I said, look, I got to tell you something. You know that wire that's on the mailboxes? And he's looking at me like, what's that got to do with living or anything else? I got all these machines to fix and you want to talk about a wire that's on a mailbox. What? The wire that's on the mailbox that holds the newspapers or whatever it holds. Yeah? Well, I said, I stole it off of your mailbox because I couldn't get into my car, and I'll buy you another one. Okay, he says, that's the least of my worries. Well, see how much you can make out of a little thing? To me, it wasn't a little thing. I had to clear it. Now, I still have to go buy that stupid wire. The point is, we don't want to tangle up our lives when it's so easy to untangle them. Are you hearing this? You know what will happen? It leaves your soul barren and you'll produce no real fruit. Something will logjam it, and Satan can get in and confuse you and say, well, now you're a fine one to talk. Resentments. Matthew 5, 23 and 24, it talks about coming to the altar. We were talking about it at communion. And then remembering that your brother has something against you. Ah, but in Matthew 18 and 15, where your brother has sinned against you. Now, in either situation, whether you're the cause or they're the cause, you're to take the lead in the reconciliation as a Christian. You take the lead. You take the initiative. Well, this isn't my fault. It's up to them to come. I'll sit right here and I'll wait by the phone. I'm open. God, have them call. I'll forgive them. They're never going to call because your attitude is wrong. You're the one that's unforgiving. No, you're not even to come to the altar if the brother has aught against you or you have aught against the brother. As a Christian, you're to be the, to reconcile, to be that force to cause it, to initiate it, to make it to happen. Why? For yourself. And it's going to cost you pride. And you have to walk into God's seed store. And you have to reach into your heart and grab a hold of your pride and your mind. And you get free. You get the seed. Now, you have to do something with it. You have to sow it. Whew. Maybe you'll have to plow first. Ooh. That's where we get tangled up every time. No, in every situation, we are to be the reconcilers. You say, I can't forgive. I hear someone on the radio, but I can't. I remember ministering to a woman. She got up and says, I can't. I thought, this woman's going to have a heart attack. So right in the middle of her, I can't, I walked right up to her and I said, you can. She was sitting right back in that seat back there. I said, she can. And so then she forgot about being mad at them. She got mad at me. I said, I can't. I said, you can. Can't. You don't like that kind of ministry? That's the only way people get free. That's why you people listen on the radio. Because this is a little bit heavy for you to come down here. Can't. And after a half hour of canning, I talked her into canning. Instead of canting. 20-some years over some little insult, some little slight. No one talks to me like that. No one says that to me. No, hey, I'm not the one that needs to be free. You need to be free. I'm going to pray for your freedom. Huh? Oh, come on. Who's bound? Are you hearing this? How many people are walking around just like that? And they say, oh, I forgot all about that person. They have most certainly have not forgot about that person. They have not. And at a moment's notice, they would pick up a Thompson submachine gun and mow them down. Oh, that's something way back there. I forgot all of it. I'm so glad I'm out of that situation. Oh, are you? Come on now, folks. Sometimes we hide things, don't we? Now, it's getting kind of quiet out there on the radio, on tape ministry. You're getting real quiet out there. Barely hear you breathing. No, see, if you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. And because if you can't forgive, you break down forgiveness bridge. Have you ever broken down the bridges? And you waited and waited and waited and you didn't take the initiative and you never prayed about it even. And then pretty soon the bridges broke down. The rope started going, bing! One strand was gone. And then the other side, bing! Like Jungle Gym movies, you know where the bridge is? It sways back and forth and they walk across this thing and hold on to it. Huh? And they got the elephants out there. Oh! However they go, I don't know. That was a wolf, but pretend like it was an elephant, all right? Huh? Have you? And you waited until it rotted and then you couldn't get across? And you stood on the other side. Why didn't I take the initiative? Now I can't get across. I waited too long. Now, if the forgiveness entails you doing something unlovely to somebody else, that is not a God either. All right, the person says, I'll love you and I'll forgive you if you'll do a very unloving and very unforgiving thing and walk up and smack that person that we're arguing about right in the face. Then I'll forgive you. But I want to see blood, Jocko. Huh? No, those are the wrong conditions. See, there's a lot more things that enter into this now. Come on. But we entangle ourselves by scriptures and we give people scriptures. You know what the Word of God says? Forgiven you shall be then you shall be forgiven. Yeah, but at what cost? Being unloving, showing no mercy or something towards someone else? No, this is what I'm doing. I love this person, I love you. Well, if you love that person, you can't love me. Well, that's the way it is. Then you have to depart yourself. You have to pull yourself back. So there's conditions to this too. Otherwise, see, the legalist brings this in. And you can even legalize love. Love can become very legal. You call this love? You forgot to bring flowers. Bring the flowers. Forgot to bring the candy. You know I can't eat those butter rickles. Bonbons, stupid. Bonbons! I mean, you know. See, and there's a lot of things. And this is kind of funny in that, but I'm just trying to bring it out here. Sometimes it looks impossible. Well, you leave that person to God then. You've done everything that you can. Right? You flowered it up, you sweetened it up, and it didn't work. It was the wrong thing, wrong kind of love. Remember, God will give you grace to say, I'm sorry. You know what makes you say you're sorry and gives you the power to say you're sorry?
That is the hardest thing to say sometimes. Oh, it just makes our mouth dry thinking about it. To say you're sorry. I don't know if I could ever do it. There's a certain person in my life. I'll never say I'm sorry.
I remember This was last week, and we had like 400 and some people, feeding 400 and some people downstairs here. And then I have the waitresses come out, and waiters come out, and I say, over here, and I go like this. I go S-shapes all the way back and forth and back and forth. And as a young man going through school, I was a waiter, so I know how to do this. Okay, over here, this one, this one, this one. No, no, over here. Get this one over here. Over in the high tip area, over here, and you got to keep it humorous and light so they don't bite you. And there was a man that was sitting there, and he said, my mother came in with me, and you didn't wait on her. And he stood up. Well, I said, I'm sorry, I have the way I go here. My mother came in with me. Well, she might have went to the bathroom. She wasn't here when I came through here. So you don't just stand up there and just be, oh, goodness sakes, I'm really sorry, sir. Oh, over here, waiters, everybody, stop everything and come over here and wait on this lady. It's his mom. That wouldn't be fair to the rest of them, would it? Huh? Well, there might be a legalist Christian standing there, oh, is that the Christian thing to do? Look at this poor little old lady sitting here. Not a soup bone, nothing, perishing. Well, in 3 minutes, I'd be back there anyway. I said, I'll be back in 3 minutes. And this guy was ranting and raving. His veins were sticking out. No, actually, you know, he was trying to prove a point that he loved his mom. Why didn't he give her his plate? He was sitting there hogging down, chowing down. You know what I mean? That's why they don't understand God's love and mercy and forgiveness, and they don't understand his rod of correction either. Now, what's it going to cost you? And so the woman called back, and I says, all I can tell you, ma'am, is that I'm very sorry, and we'll try to serve you better in the future. And so she kept talking and talking and talking, and finally I just made myself scarce by hanging up. Rude? No. No, it's just common sense. I had other people to take care of in the mission. See, you can't dote, and you can't be on people that are so self-centered, but you got to give them a little bit of peace. Say, I'm really sorry. We'll try to serve you better next time. Goodbye. Bink. As much as is within you. That's all I had that day. All we have to do is ask God, right in the middle of that tirade, God, give me the power to say I am sorry and that I forgive, because it sure isn't in me, Lord. It's got to come from your spirit, not by my might or power, or I'll cut off their ears. Well, what's that I hear someone saying on the radio? I can't. Well, just learn how to say I can. Yes, you can say you're sorry.
That was episode 308, part 1, Untangling. Be sure to join us on Sunday for the conclusion. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict prancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody. might be a young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home, might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks, you may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. It may be somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread, maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve.
It may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Now you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say. Still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.